Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
And amen. Hallelujah. Who gives glory to Yahweh? Yay. Tell your neighbor, ain't nobody like him. Nobody. You know what? I'm telling y'all, that's my song right there. I love it when it says, we declare. Tell your neighbor, we declare. There's nobody like him. Not just I declare, it's not just you declare. We declare. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody like him. I'm telling y'all. As Scott says, I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you started, but you always get started. He always gets started. Hallelujah. We all should get started on that. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. He is so good. So we're going back this Sunday to something that we opened up two Sundays ago. Last Sunday, we kind of went in a different direction where the Holy Spirit was speaking. And today, we're going to go back to Psalms. If you're a Hebrew scholar, Tehillim, and it's going to be the 112th Psalm. And there's something that in all of these things that the church has to be careful of, that we're not lacking in this world where there's so many distractions, there's so many things going on, there's so many things that are competing for our attention. We have to be careful as believers, and we're actually talking about that on Wednesday night, spiritual warfare. And we're going to go into some things in that study. But here on today's study, we opened up this subject, and we need to finish it. So let's go to Tehillim, Psalm 112. And it says, praise ye Yahweh. Blessed is the man that feareth Yahweh, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. And we were looking at this word, feareth. And we found out that it's not, oh, boo-hoo, I'm scared. I'm scared, fear. But this is a fear that the Hebrew word is yare. Say yare. Yare. And yare means to reverence, to revere, to be awed, respect. And in this day and age, a lot of believers are lacking in their yare because we're not reverencing Yahweh like he needs to be reverenced. And we're not reverencing him the way that he's expecting us to reverence him. We're not scared, but we're respecting. And in this day and age, everybody wants to be respected, don't they? What is the biggest thing people say? You disrespected me. As if you're worthy of respect. Now what you do, are you really worthy of all autonomous respect? And a lot of times we are concerned about people disrespecting us, but a lot of times we're not even respecting them to get the respect back. But rather, I look around the room and I found only one worthy of respect and reverence, and that's Yahba. We're talking about. He wants your what? Your reverence. He wants your yare. And it says, if you do that, it says, blessed is what? The man. Somebody say the woman. And then there's a benefit in it. He says that delighteth what? Greatly. Delighteth means what? You're taking pleasure in it. You love it. You've got to have it. You need it. Right? And so if we are delighting greatly in his commandments, that means that we should always be looking for opportunities to be filled with his word. Always looking for opportunities to what? Be in his house. Even if it's to play basketball in his house. This is what we did yesterday, right? Because you're there with other believers, right? But it's what? It's at his house. And we have to what? Not just desire it, but we have to what? Greatly, greatly want to delight in it. And so it says, second verse, his seed. Well, what are these? This is say, tell your neighbor, these are the benefits. This is say, these are the benefits of reverence. If you reverence him properly, it says his seed. Tell your neighbor, your seed.
Your seed.
Hallelujah. Shall be what? Mighty upon the earth. The generation of the what? Upright shall be what? Blessed. Does anybody want to be blessed? I don't hear very many people saying that they want to be blessed. Anybody want to be blessed up in here? Okay, if you want to be blessed, you need to be upright. Tell yourself, I need to be upright. Because that's what he's looking for, right? And so the third verse says, wealth, riches shall be what? In his house. And his righteousness, what? Endureth forever. And fourth verse, unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Did you know that you're children of the light?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, we're children of the light. We're children of the light. Unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. Have you looked around in the world today? Looked around in your job, neighborhood, things is what? Dark. What makes it dark? The evil people, not the... Somebody said people make it dark. It's the evil that's on this world, right? And so you find yourself in situations where it's like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Because maybe you're there to be the light. Maybe you have to shine up in all the darkness. But that connection comes with your reverence to Yahweh, right? And it says, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious. Sounds like to me these are some evidentiary pieces of describing that person that is reverent. He is what? What does gracious mean? Loving, in love, right? Full of what?
Compassion.
We got too many believers that ain't got no compassion. It's about me and my, you know, it's about my life. I'm doing my thing. I'm living my life like it's golden. It's about me, my, what I can get, what I can do, what somebody can do for me. But are we looking out for our brothers? Situation, our sisters, situation. Are we being loving? Are we being compassionate? Are we being right standing or upright? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. Tell your neighbor, we got to check ourselves, because you know the rest. Because if you don't check yourself, and so this is our foundational scripture, and then we went to. Luke, let's go to Luke. And I marvel at the lack of reverence that is in the church today. Not just this church, but the church world, the ecclesia. We are falling into this situation where we're not even reverencing. There are things that people are doing in sanctuaries that they never would have done in sanctuaries before. You know, they're dropping it like it's hot in the sanctuary. They're twerking for who they say Jesus, twerking for Jesus. We don't need that. Let me tell you, he don't need a twerk. He just needs a raising of the hand. He just needs somebody to call his name. He just needs somebody to praise him. But he don't need no twerk. See, we take some of man's mess. And we try to bring man's mess. And we try to bring it into the church. Thinking like, well, we're trying to draw people. You ain't drawing nobody twerking. Matter of fact, you pushing people away. Because everybody that's twerking ain't got no business twerking. Just thought I'd throw that out there. So we got to get it right. We got to get this, we got to get back to reverence. You know, there used to be a time the sanctuary was set apart. You could, in the tabernacle, you could not walk up in there any old kind of way. There was instructions to how you what? Right? But we got all kinds of, we got folks coming in the sanctuary all kinds of ways. Jiggling and wiggling in the sanctuary. Supposed to be a holy place. I think I touched on some of these things. It's not a place for you to be sexy. We don't need all that wiggle and jiggle in the sanctuary. It's the flesh. There was a book that I read years ago when I think I was in junior high school. Daddy was a number runner. And in there, brother said, it must be jelly, because jam don't shake. But we're doing this, we're trying to change the face of the church, trying to make the church more acceptable. The church face don't need to be changed. Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's holy. He's holy. It's not that the church is supposed to conform to the world. The world should be conforming to the church. The way you draw people is to tell them the truth. It's the truth that draws. The word says the truth shall what? Make you free. So we got to get back to the fundamentals. Say the fundamentals of our salvation. So we went to Luke. Let's go to Luke real quick. Because I stopped over there for a moment in the 18th chapter. And it's a beautiful concept. If we would all, if we could all get on the same page. Ooh. I mean, if the church could all get on the same page. There's so much schisms. Even in a church, it's difficult to get that one church of people on the same page. Yeah. Look around this room. It'd be beautiful if we all on the same page. But unfortunately, some of us is on page 32. We need to be on page 2. So we gotta start. But the key to us all getting on the same page is of all deciding that we're going to do the word of Yahweh. If we do the word of Yahweh, we all on the what? Same page. So Luke 18 chapter 7 verse says what? And shall not Yahweh avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Yahweh is bearing long with some of us. It's just his mercy and graces. Yay. Keeping us together. And it says, 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? When he comes back, when Yeshua is coming back, y'all. Yes, he is. And I think that we're living our lives as if he's not coming back, but he is coming back. And if he's coming back, then we should be living this life. This life. Say this life. This life. We should be living this life, right? And it says, if he comes back, is he going to find faith in the earth? So when I read the scripture, what's going to happen to the church? Is he going to come back? And is he going to find what he's expecting? Or is he going to find some mess? I don't know about you, but when he comes back, I want him to find some faith in the earth. I want him to be saying, hey, I was one of your righteous ones. Yeah, I'm holding up the bloodstained banner. I'm holding up the truth. I'm living it out. I'm telling people about it. I want to expand your kingdom. I have a testimony as to what you did for me, and my testimony is going to be shared to other people to let them know what you did for me. You can do the same thing for them. Who got a testimony? But a lot of times we're not acting like it. And so the 9th verse says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. See, a lot of people, we think that we got our holiness on. We think we all that. But are we really? The only way you all that is if you live in all that. You all that when you're living all this, right? And so let's go here. We want to go to First Kepha. And that's first what? First Peter, the second chapter. And a lot of preachers, they don't want to tell you this stuff because it's not all, you know, sunshine and lollipops. Candyland. See, people want to come to church, they want Candyland. They just want to feel good. But they don't want to know about the stuff that they can fall into, because even when you play Candyland, there was a slide. Well, what was the slide? There was a slide that what? Took you down to the beginning, right? Even in Candyland. Even in Monopoly, you got to what? You might go to jail. But we're not taking this seriously. So it says the second, 1 Peter, the second chapter, first verse, says what? Wherefore? Laying aside. What is malice? Malice is badness, wickedness, naughtiness. You're not ashamed to break laws, evil. You ain't got no shame. You ain't got no morals, right? What you want to do? And it says, all what? Guile. What is guile? Trickiness, slyness, manipulation. We got folks in the church that's manipulating. We got folks in the church that got their little trickiness on. You know, they were tricky in the world. They were slick in the world. And now they want to be slick in the church. They was out there messing with girls in the world. They got saved, and now they're dealing with church girls, and they're trying to use that same slick and slyness. You're trying to be a kingdom pimp, KP. You got a girl in the choir, you got a girl in the usher board, you got a girl in the nursery. And that's just in the church. Heaven knows what you got going on out there. But tell your neighbor, this ain't the place. This ain't for the. The Bible says if you were a pimp, and you know this day that the word pimp, it's not just. You guys are not ready for that. You think it's just a guy that's just running prostitutes, but if a guy is going around making sisters give them money and taking care of them, he pimping. He got a game going on. Hey, baby, you know, can you buy me these shoes? You know, these Jordans are coming out. next week. Can you buy me these?
She said, oh, yes.
You know, can you spot me at Red Lobster? You know. change, just this time, you know, change is a little, you know, funny. And you got silly women. Somebody say it again, silly women. Who go around, they buying the shoes. They paying every, wait. You know you got a pimp when every time y'all go out to eat, you, sister, are the one that's paying. You pulling out your ATM card. And you know you only got $18 on it anyway. But you still gonna try, you gonna put a prayer in that I can pay. But you, we got church pimps doing it. Brother, let me tell you something. King, get a job. Make an honest earning, an honest living, and stop trying to live off of these sisters. Sisters, stop falling for the okey-doke. If he didn't have the money last week, last month, he didn't have it last year, he ain't gonna have it tomorrow. And then when you try to bring it to their attention, oh, you keeping tabs, baby? You keeping what? I thought we loved each other. We got to tell people that. Stop this. Because, see, you're not messing with just your salvation. You're messing with theirs. We gotta be real about this. So it says you got to lay. Brother, there's still hope for you. If you pimping right now, you can be delivered. Stop that pimp. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. There's always hope. There's deliverance for you, brother pimp. Because they try to think like, well, you know, I'm not out there running, you know, women and prostitutes. Yeah, but you got a game going on just like that. You gotta tell the truth. Say, expose it. Okay. Say, lay it aside. All right, hypocrisies. What's that? Fakeness. Fake. You acting fake. You acting phony. I done told y'all about this too. You try to put up this spiritual thing. Praise y'all. Then when you get mad at somebody, you say something you don't like, you have the nerve to use that and praise God. You fake. You're not reverencing his name. You're not reverencing what he stands for. You fake. We got some people that we would not know you after you stepped outside those doors. I have seen some people on the street. And I act like I didn't see them because I was like, I don't, they're going to feel real bad if they see me. Oh, Lord. Help us, Father Yahweh. Say, tell somebody, lay it aside. Envies. What's envies? Evil speaking. You hating on people. You. Jealous. When somebody comes up in here and a new ride, I say, praise y'all. Wow. I look at that, I say, oh, hallelujah. Y'all was good. You needed that. Hallelujah. You know? And it's a blessing to see my brothers and sisters blessed. But then you got some other folks that's like, I wonder, they can't afford that note. They didn't need no car. No, I don't know what to get that car for. They don't need nothing that big. They need something smaller than that. You'll be surprised. The saints, don't front. That's what I'm looking for. Stop fronting. You know you saying some of this stuff. Saints, some of the saints hating on other saints. Aren't we serving the same God? Isn't he worthy to be praised? Isn't he a blesser? Doesn't he provide? So you should love to see when he's providing for other saints. Because basically, if you ain't getting provided for, maybe there's something that you ain't doing. or something that you are doing that you ain't got no business doing. Say, get it right. Say, lay it aside. Lay it aside. That's all evil speakings. Backbiting. Evil speakings. When you talk, what is backbiting? When you're talking about somebody behind their back. See, I don't know about y'all, we got to clean up the church. We got to clean up the church because this stuff is going on in the church. That's why Kepha had to tell us lay it aside. Because evidently it was happening in the church. Well, I ain't backbiting. I'm just telling it like it is. What you mean? Well, let me clarify. Backbiting means you talking about somebody behind their back. Backbiting means you talking about a brother or a sister. You saying some stuff about them, right? That you ain't telling, you ain't talking to them. You telling somebody else. Can we say gossip? Brothers gossip too. It's just called gossip. Because brothers saying stuff too. Women aren't the only ones that be talking about people. But brothers be together. Yeah, but that brother, I don't know about him. You know, he be you know, doing some stuff. He be saying some stuff. Well, what you be saying? What you be doing? What kind of life you live? You know? It goes back to the scripture that we previously read. You feel like you got some kind of form of righteousness, but you ain't. And the word of Yahweh tells us, where it talks about you are so worried about somebody's, what somebody else is doing, but you got a beam in your own eye, right? And see, so if you want to talk about somebody, then you got to, he didn't say you couldn't talk about them, but it said now you repent and take the beam out of your eye and you get your life right. And then maybe you can say something about their life. But until you get your own mess straight, you need to
hush up.
Tell somebody lay it aside. See, that's it's a shame. But it's too much stuff going on. But number two, wait, let me go back again to evil speakers. Defamation. Anybody know what defamation of character is? You slander people, you say stuff about them that's not true. And you actually are murdering their character. And then you spread stuff. You spread it from one person to the other. Say, that's evil speaking. Say, lay it aside. Now, saints, if you find out from this scripture that you've been operating in malice, or you've been in guile, or you've been in hypocrisies and envies, or evil speakings, which every single one of y'all have done one of these, those, or a combination of two or three. All you got to do is say, Father, forgive me. Repent, and you guess what? In his infinite grace and mercy, he'll forgive you that. It'll lift right now. Somebody needs to praise him. Hallelujah. So now, we go to the second verse. We had to lay that stuff aside because there's something for us. In this reverence, it says, as newborn babes, desire the what? Saints, there's a lot of milk out there. There's a lot of milk. But it's not the sincere milk. He wants you to desire the true word of Yahweh. He don't want it watered down. He don't want it messed with. It has to be the genuine, sincere milk. Who wants sincere milk? I want sincere milk. I want that real milk, right? I want that true milk. I don't want Enfamil. I don't want Similac. I want the real stuff. But that's what he says. You want to desire what? Sincere. The sincere milk of the word. And if you got that, something's going to happen to you. You're going to grow thereby. And a lot of people are not growing in their salvation. They're not growing in their reverence. They're not growing in their life because they're not desiring the sincere meal. A lot of times people want to go different places and they just want to hear, kiss me, give me a good word. Just tell me something that's going to make me feel good. The Bible says in the last days, people will have itching ears. They'll go to church wanting to hear just what they want to hear, but not hearing what? The truth. A lot of people want to hear, hey, you can do whatever you want. You can live any way you want. God loves you. You just keep on doing what you're doing. And you're still going to go to heaven. Tell your neighbor, that's not true. He ain't said that. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That means that if you don't live an acceptable life, the opposite of acceptable is what? Unacceptable. So that lets me know, what? There's an unacceptable sacrifice? Yes, there is an unacceptable sacrifice, especially if you're not living holy. So, let's go here. And we're going to open up a little bit more. Let's go to verse Peter. Actually, go to the third verse. Say, you got to desire this lifestyle. You got to desire this lifestyle. And if you want to live this life to the fullest, this life, you have to lay aside all of these things that he's talking about. Third verse says, if so, say if so. If so be you have tasted that Yahweh is gracious or good, to whom coming as unto a living stone. What is living stone? Yeshua. Yeshua is what? The living stone, because the Bible said he was the chief cornerstone. He was the stone that the builders what? Rejected. So he's saying what? To whom coming, who is Yeshua, say he's coming back. So as Yeshua, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. What does that mean? The men rejected. They said, no, we're not going to listen to that. No, we're not going to do that. But he was what? Chosen of Yahweh, and what? Precious. Say he's precious. Say Yeshua is precious. Say, no, say it like you believe it. Yeshua is precious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. So the men rejected him. But Yahweh chose him, and he's precious. So when you don't do the things that the word of Yahweh is telling you to do, and Yeshua is the word, when you don't do those things, when you don't embrace those things, when you don't desire those things, you're disallowing him all over again. Just as the men rejected him, you're rejecting him. Think about that. Does he deserve to be rejected again? You as a believer who should know better, you know he's the living stone. You know he is the chief cornerstone. You know that he's brought you out of some stuff. You know that he's delivered you. You know that he's provided for you. You know that he's covered you. And for you to reject him again, just as those unsaved people rejected him. What does that say about you? He was chosen of Yahweh and what? Precious. Say he's precious. And a lot of times we're not treating the word, we're not treating Yeshua, we're not treating this lifestyle like it's what? Precious. And so if we go to the fourth verse, he said to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Yahweh and precious. Fifth verse. You also as lively. So first he said living stone, and now he's saying lively stones. Well, he is the living stone. And guess what? The living stone gives life to the lively ones. Say the living stone gives life to the lively stones. And who are the lively stones? You. Tell your neighbor, you are the lively stone. You also, as what? Lively stones. Well, why are we saying stones? Well, stones has a tendency to mean in the Hebrew about the church, the temple. So you are living temples. Say living temples.
Living.
Are built up a what? Spiritual house. Say, I am a spiritual house. Tell your neighbor what kind of house you building. Whether you want to believe it or not, you're building a house. Your life is supposed to be an example of the life, the lively stones. Your life should be built up in admonition of a life of reverence to Yahweh. So you as lively stones are built up a what? Spiritual house. And not only that, tell your neighbor, not only that, but it's a holy what? Priesthood. Wait, hold up. Not only are you building a spiritual house, but it's a what? A holy what? What is a holy priesthood? Tell yourself, I'm set apart.
I'm set apart.
Tell yourself, I'm better than the world.
I'm better than the world.
Tell yourself, not because it's me.
Not because it's me.
But it's because of Yahweh. And I thank him. I thank him because you built up a house, dude. And it's a holy priesthood to what? Offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
Somebody say praise.
Praise.
Somebody say worship.
Worship.
Somebody say adoration.
Adoration.
Somebody say reverence.
Reverence.
That's what your job is. Do I have any lively stones in the house? See, what happens? Sometimes we're supposed to be lively stones, but we become dead stones. What's a dead stone? It's a boulder. It just lay there. It's stuck. It's dusty. It ain't going nowhere. But it says what? Lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer what? Spiritual sacrifice. This is talking about you. And not only all these things are doing, but it says there are what? Acceptable. Somebody say acceptable.
Acceptable.
To who? To Yahweh. By who? Tell yourself it has to be acceptable. Right? It has to be. Say, I'm a lively stone. I'm building up a spiritual house. It's a holy priesthood. I offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh by Yeshua Mashiach. Hallelujah. That's you. But it has to come out of your what? Out of your reverence. So let's go here. It says, the sixth verse, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. See, a lot of stuff, we're not looking deep enough. Because if we were looking deep enough, we would find it in the scripture. But we always have to go back and get a confirmation. Wherefore it is what? Contained in scripture. Also, behold, I lay what? In Zion. A what? Chief cornerstone. Elect. There goes that word again. Precious. Say precious.
Precious.
What is precious? To be desired. To be taken care of. Say appreciate.
Appreciate.
It's precious. Something that's precious, you want to what? Anybody got something that's precious? You got something. What do you do with that precious thing? Because I know when my mom and dad had their house, she had this china from Japan. And this china, you better not touch that china. And with the china, she had some crystal. And that china had a special place. She put it in a china cabinet. And you'd only be able to access the china cabinet when it was a what?
Special occasion.
Otherwise, you was eating on Dixie. Right? But what does that show? It shows that it was something that was what? Precious. And that she was what? Taking what? Care of it. Setting it up. It wasn't anything that she just threw around. You even had to wash that china. Real, you had to. Sheesh. She wouldn't let nobody else wash it. You can't let it hit the bottom. You had to hold that thing. And you didn't use no Brillo. Now see, y'all got some stuff that you Brillo-ing. You got that regular everyday stoneware. But this, you had to what? Take care of that thing. So if something is precious, you what?
Take care of it.
Y'all got some stuff. I know. Perfect example. I got some brothers here. I know they got some Jordans. I know they do.
All right.
From 1989 and 90. They got the Jordans. They got the first Jordans that came out or the second ones or whatever. Guess what these dudes do? They treat them things like they keep them in the box. If they could walk around with the box still on them, they would. I seen dudes, they take care of them shoes. Don't raise your hands, brothers, but I know you're sitting up in here. You got a stack of them. And you only wear them on what? Special occasions. Wow. And those are shoes. What if we valued our salvation in that same way? If we treated it as precious as it is. Say, my salvation is precious. You wouldn't just do that salvation any old way. You would take care of that. You would treat, sisters, I know you got some rings. And if it's not genuine, you got some good costume that you've been taking care of. You make sure you put that in a, because it's a treasure. You got a special box for that. Isn't that what we should do with our salvation? And he says, I lay a stone in Zion. Ooh, it's not just any stone, it's the chief cornerstone. It's that stone, that living stone that we got our liveliness from. It's a precious stone, it's a cornerstone, it's an elect stone. It's precious, chosen, precious. And he that believeth on him or in him shall not be what? Confounded. You won't be confused. You won't be messed up. All you got to do is treat that precious stone like he needs to be treated. And it says, seven, unto you, therefore, which believe. Say, believe.
Believe.
Do you believe he's precious?
Hallelujah.
See, you got to believe. That he's, I can tell you, Pastor Thomas up here telling you that he's precious, but are you receiving that and are you really believing that he is precious? He says to those that what?
Believe
he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. Uh-oh, what's disobedience mean? You ain't obeying. It says for those which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, what? And a stone of what?
Stumble.
If you don't believe, you're going to stumble. Tell your neighbor, if you don't believe, You're going to stumble. You're going to, the same stone that's supposed to be the chief cornerstone that's precious, if you don't believe it, you're going to trip on it. And that's why we see so many believers tripping, because they don't believe he's precious, and what is supposed to be the chief cornerstone has become a stumbling block for you, because every time the truth come up, you don't want to do the truth, you trip over the truth, and you bust your head open. And that's why we got so many fool acting Christians. Why? Because they don't believe that he's precious. You want to see a Christian running around acting a fool and doing whatever they want to do, being disobedient? I'll show you somebody that don't believe that he is the chief cornerstone.
That's right.
Somebody that does not believe he is what? Precious. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were what? Number 9. Say, but. See, there's deliverance in but. You might be a hard-headed, disbelieving, believe it's not precious, you just treat it any old kind of way, believer, but there's hope for you. Say, there's deliverance for you. But you are what? A chosen generation. Say, we're chosen. A what? Royal priesthood. Say, you're royal. Ah, what? Holy nation. But somebody say, hey, what? Peculiar. Tell your neighbor, you kind of strange. We different. Say, tell your neighbor this. Say, I'm different. Because we are. See, we spend so much time trying to be like the world, but we're not the world. The word already told us that we're different. We're set apart. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're peculiar. That's what we are. We're different. What makes us different? Well, we show forth praise. Right? We show forth the praises of him who've called you out of darkness into this what? Marvelous light. We've been called out of the darkness into what? The marvelous light. And so many of us are trying to get back into the darkness. We can't even appreciate. We're light. Look at these folks. Look at all this lightness. Look at all this lightness. It's to be what? It's to be reverenced. All this, look at all this holiness in the room. It's okay what they, okay, maybe they messed up last night, but hey, they got their deliverance here today. They in the house. We gave up a praise. We got it right. So when I got up in here, I don't care what happened before. You repent of that. Let that go. Now that you understand who you are, now that you understand who the chief cornerstone is, you should realize that you are a chosen generation. You are royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, but you're a peculiar people. But you need to show forth his praises, because he called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Can somebody just give him the glory for that? He saved you. He saved you. He's precious. He's precious. He's holy. He's to be reverenced. Father Yabba, we come to you right now. Thanking you for what you did for us. You did bring us out of darkness. And not just the light that you brought us into, but it's marvelous light. It's an incredible light. It's the light of you. It's an illumination that shines forth from us that we should not take for granted. So we thank you for that light. Right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, acted out in a way opposite. If we've been tripping over the stone instead of embracing the stone, forgive us right now, Father. Cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. And right now, our desire, Father, is to live a life for you. We are chosen. Thank you that we're chosen, Father Yahweh. Thank you that we are a royal priesthood. Thank you, Father Yahweh, that we are the light. So right now, we embrace that. Right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, minister to us if we haven't acted that out in the way that you are expecting. We're careful to give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Please keep your head bowed. I have to make this call before we leave because maybe somebody wants to change. Maybe somebody wants to come into this marvelous life. We're talking about a salvation, a relationship here with the chief cornerstone. If you desire that in your life, if you want that change, if you want that new life, that precious life, we can pray today for you that you receive that, that you receive what we're talking about. It's there in scripture. It's there for you. If you want that life today, we can pray for you. All you need to do is just raise your hand. Who wants that life? Who wants to make that proclamation today? I want that life. I want that life. That's one. Anybody else? Anybody else say, I want that. I want that marvelous life. I want that in my life. Now, second call is this. Maybe you've said, hey, I have been saved, I've been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not living that life. I've kind of been separated. I've kind of drifted away. And he's saying, I want you to come back. I want you to rededicate. I want you to be restored. And if you're saying, I want restoration, I want to get it right, I want to do it like it's supposed to be done, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Restoration. Anybody want that restoration? You want that new life? You want to be restored back? That's what he does. That's what he does. Amen. So if you've risen your hand for any of those things, I want you to proclaim it, declare it, decree it. Everybody's got their head bowed. Just you come down here with me. We'll pray. We'll pray. Hallelujah. We're going to get it. Everything that it is that you need today. Hallelujah.